Parshas Nitzavim is a parsha that is always read before Rosh Hashanah. Sometimes Tzavim Vayelech, but it's always read before Rosh Hashanah, the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. And any cursory view of working through the parshas, one sees straight away that Parshas Nitzavim has changed gear completely. You know, Parshas Kisavoy, there's 100 and something psukim. You get to Parshas Nitzavim, it's about 40 psukim. Yeah, there's no, ultimately, it's not a parsha full of mitzvahs, although we have one mitzvah called to most mafarshim, mitzvah of tshuva. But it's a different kind of level, it's a different kind of gear. We've gone into a whole new gear. And it's clear and it's evident that the Torah is preparing us for an event and trying to draw our attention with few psukim to a message that we should get clear. Sometimes you have a very, very long drawn out message, you miss the wood for the trees. Parshas Nitzavim is a very focused parsha, gearing us up to understanding what stands in front of us, the Yom HaDin. Atem Nitzavim Hayoim Kulchem Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. Atem Nitzavim. What's Peshat in the word Nitzavim? What's Nitzavim mean? Anybody know what Nitzavim means? In a very, very easy translation, in a very, so lack of a better word, you're all gathered here, but it's much more than that. Nitzavim is from Nitzav. Nitzav Kale. It's a lotion of Amida Shel Tkifus Ushvara. It is a land, it's a standing of authority, of control. Yeah? Like it says, Beboyas, the Vyama Boyas and Naroi, Hanitzav Alakoitrim. In other words, it's a language of authority. A person standing there assured, confident. So Atin Nitzavim Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem is a lotion of confidence. How does the lotion of confidence in Nitzavim have to do with Moshe Rabbeinu gathering in Klal Yisrael, giving them the last message? What's Nitzavim there within that context of confidence got to do with it? Secondly, what's Peshat Atin Nitzavim Hayoim Kulchem? What's the Hayoim over here? Today. What day? And thirdly, why does it say Roshechem, Shifteichem, Zikneichem, Kol Ish Yisrael? It really just says Kulchem. Atin Sovim Hayoim Kulchem, all of you. And then why does it repeat itself, Kol Ish Yisrael, every man in Klal Yisrael? That is a repetition. So the Mefarshim explain, starting from the Rishonim, ending in Lachronim, that this is a message for Rosh Hashanah. Atin Sovim Hayoim, the big day, is referring to Rosh Hashanah. And this parasha, and particularly these psukim, are gearing us up, giving us a message for Rosh Hashanah. So Atin Nitzavim Hayoim, you're standing in front of the Yoim. Kulchem, all of you, are standing in front of Din, in front of Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So let's work through this very carefully. What is the message over here of the Yoim HaDin? What is the message of the parasha teaching us over here? Now, this has been discussed in various different occasions by different Rabbonim. I want to go through something that Reb Chaim Shmuel Nevitz talks about, and it's something that Rabbi Yaakov Naiman talks about, and it's something that can be used ultimately to completely change our din from chas v'chalila, something not good, to something that completely changed our life. There's a stira. The Rosh Hashanah is one of the biggest stiras, is the fact that we go through and read in the Sanatokov, Malachim Yichafezim, the Malachim are panicking. V'gilur Oda Yechezim. And the dread and the terror is holding them. Today the Yom HaDin has come. Yeah, lifkoi del tzvabu moroi madin. Stand in front of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Mi yizka lefenecha badin. Who can possibly be zoich in front of Kodesh Baruch Hu? We've lost. Finished. That's it. The Malachim. Yeah? What b'chir does Malachim have? And Malachim, that's it. They see the whole world crumbling. And if mi yizka lefenecha badin, who can win? But Tzadsheni, the Torah brings down that we have a halacha that we trim, and we have haircuts, and we bathe, and we wear fresh clothes, because we muftach, because we are assured that we're going to get through the din. Is it impossible, or are we assured? How does that work? How does that stira work? How does that reconcile? So Bishchok Blaser explains in next week's parasha. It says in parasha Azinu, Hatzur Tomim Po'oloi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a tzur, is a rock. Yeah, tomim pa'oloi, his works are tamim, are perfect. Kuchol derach of Mishpat, Keil Emuna. All his words are Mishpat, Keil Emuna, he is a trustworthy God. Ve'ein Ovel, without iniquity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not do bad things, does not make avlus. He does not do terror, he does not twist the course of judgment. Ein Ovel.
Hazinu.
Next week's parasha. Asks Rabbi Yaakov Naiman, and Yisro Blaza asks it, Ruchaim Shem Levis asks it, what does it mean, Ein Ovel? We expect from a normal human being not to do an avla. To be straight, to be honest, not to twist things, not to do iniquities. How can you say, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hatsur Tomim Pa'oloi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absolutely perfect, Chol Derocha Mishpot, everything he does in Mishpot is absolutely perfect, there ain't Ovel, and he doesn't do any iniquities, he does not make any terrible errors. Of course, a regular person would hope he doesn't do an error, he'd get fired if he does. Why is that a Shevach to Rebbeinu Shleilam? So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz answers, and the Chayre, that's Reb Yitzhak Blaz is answering as well, with a posuk, Mishpatei Hashem Emes Tzodku Yachdov. The words, the Mishpatei Hashem, the judgment of Kodesh Baruch Hu is Emes, is truthful. Tzodku, it is Tzedek Yachdov. What's Yachdov? You've heard this posuk. What's Tzodku Yachdov? What's Yachdov mean? Mishpatei Hashem is Tzodku Yachdov. His Tzedek is Yachdov together. What's a Yachdov? How does that fit in? Yeah, we all say this every Shabbos morning. What's Tzodku Yachdov? Says Reb Chaim that there's a complete different way of having din in Olam Hazeh and the way one has din in Olam Habo. Din Olam Hazeh is, let's say, Rachmana Litzlan, a person is Chayv Misa because he was Machal Shabbos. So there's Eidim, there's witnesses, there's Hasra, there's warning. You bring into Beis Din, you make creatures of Chakiris, you find out whether Edom are saying the truth, and you find out, and you kill him. That's it. He's got Din Misa. I maybe did Tshuva, we don't know whether he did Tshuva or not, he has to Tshuva before he dies, whatever, but the Misa, we kill him. In Shemayim, there is much greater, a much deeper, much more complex Shaila before a kill a person. Reb Moshe has a Shaila with regard to taking out life insurance. Whether it is whether it's a correct thing to take out life insurance. What's the Shaila? The Shaila is like this. When one works in Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not take a micro picture of exactly what's happening if this person's Chayv Misa B'chlal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes an overview and sees the entire spectrum of every result that can possibly happen if this person dies. Let's even take a less of an extreme example. Let's say a person should become bankrupt. Right? So this person himself may be not ro'i to keep his money, he may be ro'i to be take his money taken away and become bankrupt. But maybe he owes a butcher money. And if he can't pay now, maybe the butcher isn't supposed to suffer by the fact that he can't get paid. Maybe the Rebbe in the cheder needs to be paid. And if he can't pay him, he's going to suffer and he doesn't deserve to suffer. Or maybe he does deserve to suffer, but his children don't deserve to suffer. Or maybe his wife is a tzedekes, and she doesn't deserve to suffer, and now, living with her husband who doesn't have any money, will impact her in a way that she does not deserve to be impacted. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu only punishes a person to the extent that everybody else on the food chain, and every ripple effect is going to be taken into account, and only then he will give the Mishpatei Hashem Emes. Tzodku Yachdov means he brings everybody else in to the Yachdov, everybody else in to what's happening, and then he'll give that person an oynish. Life insurance, for example, says Reb Moshe has a nidun about this. Maybe without life insurance, the wife of this person does not deserve to be a destitute widow. So therefore, if a Kodesh Baruch Hu has a din on this person to kill him, he won't die simply because his wife does not deserve to be pure, to be poor. Now they have life insurance, his wife won't be poor. She's going to get $1 million from life insurance. Maybe she'll be lived better now than she did beforehand. Maybe other rabbi, now kill her, kill him, that she can come now, wealthy widow.
But she'll be sad.
Fine. So you have to work out how much. Are you right? You have to work out how much sadness. Maybe not. Yeah. You have to work out how much sadness it is compared to how much happy she'll be, and you have to put it all in. And therefore, it could be a cheshbon not to do that. And that's Tzodku Yachdov. So when we say Hatzul Tomim Podik called the Rochel Mishpat Kedemuna the Ein Ovel means when he does his Mishpat, he makes sure that nobody else suffers because of this person. Ein Ovel. There's no iniquity to anybody else when he takes into account this person's judgments. The Gemara says, for example, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz brings down, by avoiding the Dorim, the avoid for the punishment of what a husband makes a neder and doesn't keep to it, Ishto Yishul Odom Meso. The wife dies. Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lam Beis on the base. Ask Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, children die for the sake of for the chetoim of the father, Ketanim. But wife doesn't die for the chet of the husband. So why the chet of the husband's nedarim does a wife die? How does that work? So he explains. He explains that it could be that if the woman dies, it may upset the husband to the extent that he does not deserve to be punished in that way. And therefore the woman won't die because the husband doesn't deserve to suffer that amount. But if the husband goes through and does avoy nedarim, in a way that he's not careful with his endorin, that he deserves an oinesh of the suffering of his wife dying. And therefore his wife will die now because he now deserves to suffer. So avoyin adorim, if avoyin of the endorin, he deserves to suffer now, before he did not deserve to suffer, and therefore his wife wouldn't have died. And the kadoima kadoima. So Mishnah over here is as follows. The Balaam must say that taking into account that ein ovel means that the more a person is integrated into society and society are affected by him on a day-to-day basis, the more secure he is within having din. If he's a hermit, lives by himself, doesn't affect anybody, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kills him, it won't affect anybody's lives. If a person is an important part of society, he's a person who takes on somebody else's problems, a person who's giving chizuk to other people, a person who's davening for other people, and he is somebody who is very much involved in society, taking him away will cause so many adverse effects that unless all those people who is affecting deserve that he should die, he won't die. He may live for somebody else's chus. So that is the cheshbon has to have in mind, and therefore the Balaam Musa always say, make yourself a person who is, the tzibur is toiler on him, that the tzibur need him. And that is a guarantee to make sure that a person lives. And that's Peshat, when we said that the Peshat in the Stira. On one hand, Malachim yichafezun. On one hand, Malachim are panicky, mi yizkul lefnecha badin, hu ki bizoicher en din. That is when, in the beginning of the Nesan HaTzoyku, it says, kol echol yavru lefonav kibnei morim. Everyone is going past on an individual basis. As an individual, no one can survive the din. But what the Torah is talking about, that a person can be confident that will win the din, is talking about as a klal. Klal Yisrael as a klal will go through and be have schusim in din. They'll get through the din. And therefore the chokhmah is to integrate yourself as much as possible, become part of the klal. Atem nitzavim hayoim kulchem nifnei Hashem alekeichem. What's the hayoim we're talking about? Say the Bana Musa, says of Yaakov Naiman. Hayoim is referring to Rosh Hashanah. Im atem nitzavim hayoim kulchem. If you're all standing together, kulchem, you're all standing as one, then atin sam hayoyim kulchem, you're all as one, then nitzavim, then you can be confident, you can stand there with shirora, you can stand there with confidence that you're going to survive, that you're going to be together. A person can be confident of Rosh Hashanah, that he makes himself an integral part of Klal Yisrael, with Avos Yisrael, and a chrayis for Klal Yisrael, then he will survive the din. And without that, who knows? And with that explanation, Rabbi Yaakov Naiman explains the first Rashi. Not the first Rashi, sorry, Rashi in base. So he says, Hayoim, Kayoim hazeh shuhu kayim, what's up to some Hayoim, like today that is surviving. Sorry, the Obrachol Krosim Machol Hayoim, what's Hayoim? For whom mafilu meir, it's dark and becomes light. Kach heir lachem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu give light to you. The kach osid leheir lachem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu do good to you. Vaklolos vaisur mekaimen eschem. So he's saying, the previous Rashi says, Loma nismacho pashas atin tzovna klolos. Why is atin tzovna collected klolos? The fish shoma yisro meir klolos chosur stein. Since I heard 98 klolos. Besides the 49 Torah's koinim. Hayriku Paneim, their face had turned green. It means they're almost fainted. Who can possibly survive this? Hischil Moshe Lefaisal, Moshe calming down. Atem, Netzovah, Yoim, Kulchem, don't worry, everything is fine. Asks Rav Yaakov Naiman, you know, it's like telling a kid, imagine you go to a hotel, and the hotel, the patio doors, have no, they're going out to the, on the balcony, and they have no railings, right? And you see your 4-year-old child taking a chair, moving it further and further towards the railings, right, of the patio, and beneath him is a 15-foot drop. And you can't watch him every second. It's ridiculous. So what do you say to your child? Do you know that if you fall for that mepesa, chas v'chalila, somebody else's child, you know what that would happen to that child? His eyes can pop out of his head. Every bone in his body can break. His arms will fall off. His legs will fall off. His neck, his head will be mashed into a banana. And he gives this child the fright of his life. That is what happens to a child who comes anywhere close to that balcony. You see this child is panicking. His face has turned white. So what do you say to him then? Don't worry. Everything will be fine. You look okay now. You'll look okay then. Moshe Rabbeinu has got them exactly where he wanted them. Gave them 98 klolos. Klal Yisrael are panicking. Klal Yisrael are completely horiku panei, and the face is turned green. Yerushmai, once in a while, how often do you have this opportunity? And Moshe Rabbeinu says, don't worry, just like you survived till now, you survive further. Why change it? Why spoil it? Says Yaakov Naiman, no. He's saying, Atinet Savam Hayoi, of course you'll get the klodos. Of course you'll have terrible yisurim if you do Averus. But if Aten Mitzvah Hayoim Kulchem, if you're standing all together as one, you have nothing to worry about. Klal Yisrael as an arm have nothing to worry about, even if Chas V'Shalom. Individuals deserve punishment, as a nation they'll never suffer. Carries on Yaakov Naiman, he says, that's Peshat. When we say, Uvechein Tein Pachtucho Hashem Lekein Al Kol Masecho. How do you unite with Klal Yisrael? Uvechein Tein Pachtucho, we daven it Roshon Yom Kippur. Give pachad, give fear, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Masecho. V'yosu Kulam Aguda Achas, and we'll all come together, we'll all unite. Unfortunately, Eretz Yisrael, heavy country, but Jews, there's sometimes issues of unity. Unfortunately. The time when everyone gets together is when they're all crammed together in a bomb shelter during a war. All differences fall apart because we're united. We have something to do. You know, in an army, yeah, there's no Ashkenazim and Sfaradim and Hasidim and Litvaks. Yeah, we're all out there. Our lives are in danger. We have to fight the enemy. We have one common threat, and that is Yom HaDin. So he says to Kodesh Baruch Hu, give us a pachad, give us an understanding what Yom HaDin is, and we are also chunam aguda echos. They'll combine us together, and through that we'll be able to survive. There's a beautiful Zohar Kodesh. The Zohar Kodesh says, with the Isha HaShunamis. You know the Isha HaShunamis? Isha HaShunamis was the mother of one Nevi'im. Okay, and the Medrash says that she prepared a shulchan and aliyas kir. It's a haftorah, I think, a parshas Vayera. She prepared a shulchan aliyas kir for Elisha. And Elisha said to her, "Vayoyimalo ma lasis hayeshulcha." Vayhi hayoyim. And he came there that day. Vayovay shama. It's parshas Vayera. And he came there. Vayoyimalo, and he said to her, "Ma lasis loch? What can I do for you? Hayeshulcha ledaber locha lamelech. Is it possible I can speak to you for the king?" And she said back to him, "B'toich ami anoichi yeshavus." Says the Gzaya Kodesh, what was Hayoy? What day was it that Elisha came? It was Rosh Hashanah. It was Rosh Hashanah. And he said to her, "What can I do for you? Shall I speak to the king for you on your behalf?" And she said, "No, I want one thing. B'toich ami anoichi yeshavus. Let me be part of Klal Yisrael. Don't make me special. I want to be part of everyone else, because I'm assured that Klal Yisrael as a unity will never fall apart. B'toich ami anoichi yeshavus." That is our tachlis on Rosh Hashanah. To become, to push away our petty differences. To become part of a klal. To involve ourselves in the tzibur. Involve does not mean, you know, making sure that everyone has enough money for Shabbos. That's even better, adarabba. But having a wider social network in as much that a person has, you say good Shabbos to people, you give a smile to the other person, you know, you look at other tzaros, you look for them, right? That is a kliach of the tzibur when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, that we have that extra security. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Dorosh Moshe, says, why does it say further on the pasuk? It says, "Atin nesaviyam kochem fnei Hashem lekeichem, roshechem shivteichem." So, what does roshechem shivteichem? What does roshechem mean? Roshechem shivteichem. What's that referring to? How do you translate roshechem shivteichem?
The heads of the shivtrotim.
So it should roshechem l'shivteichem. So Rashi said roshechem shivteichem means roshechem, the heads of l'shivteichem, of your shevet. If that's the case, why did not say roshechem l'shivteichem, the heads of your shevet? Why say roshechem, that your heads, shivteichem, your tribes? Why did not say that lamed? Says Rav Moshe that there is a crucial component of surviving mishpat and Rosh Hashanah is being part of a tzibur, like we just mentioned. On the other hand, though, being part of a tzibur is very much an easy way out. It's a cop-out. I hide behind the big people. Yeah, there's a big forest of thick, big trees. I'm a little sapling. So, you know, I'm happy where I am. I can just hide behind. Says Rabbeinu Shleilam, no. There's Roshechem, there's Shivteichem, there's Ziknechem, there's Shetreichem, there's Neshechem, Tapchem. Every single person judged by themselves within that group. But what's Roshechem teaching me? Roshechem teaches me that each and every single person has an opportunity and the potential to become a Rosh, to become a head of who he is, to become something special and unique within himself. Roshechem means every single one of you, Klal Yisrael, is a Roshechem. It has an ability to become great. Every single male of Klal Yisrael has the obligation and the ability to know Chol HaTorah Kula. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Mi yitein v'hoi kolo am Hashem nevim. Halavai, everyone become a Novi. Moshe Rabbeinu is not being optimistic. It was something that was real and feasible. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying every single person can become a Novi if he works. Roshechem means, on one hand, be part of a klal, but don't get lost. Become the best you, Roshechem. And every single person will be judged according to what they are. Roshechem, Shivteichem, Ziknechem, Shetreichem. Kol Yisrael, every single person has their own part, and he cannot hide behind anybody else. Later on in the parasha, there's a pasuk that talks about ki ha-mitzvah hazois in Perek Lamed Pasuk Yudalev. Ki ha-mitzvah hazois ashanoichi mitzvah eschem hayoim, mitzvah hayoim. This mitzvah that I'm commanding you today, lo niflesehi mimcha v'lo yirachoykehi. It's not too far. Lo b'shemayim hilema miyalan lono ha-shemayim hu gam tu shemayim vikachei lono and I'll take a fash v'yashmin oisva na'aseno. It's not across the sea, it's not in the sky. Ki korei ve'lecho hadova ma'id. It's very close. Beficho uvilvavcho la'asoiso in your mouths and in your hearts to do. This, according to Ibn Ezra, according to many of the Rishonim, is a mitzvah of tshuva. Tshuva is not something that's very distant. It's not something that's very difficult. It's a mitzvah of tshuva. The Ibn Ezra says that the referring to this mitzvah, ki ha-mitzvah hazois, is particularly talking about the mitzvah of tshuva me'avo. Loving Rabbein Shalom. And when a person loves somebody else, the last thing he wants to do is upset them, or hurt them, or in any way offend them. And therefore, the avo, the love that you have for Rabbeinu Shalom, is such that should make us do tshuva, and therefore, in that case, all our averus become zechus. This is what we're referring to. Kemitzvah is always referring to tshuva ma'avo. The question is, if tshuva ma'avo is what's expected for us, how can the possibility of korev elecha hadova ma'id? It's very, very close. It's very, very easy. How does a person have tshuva ma'ava very easy? How do I change my life to the extent that it can be suddenly easy that to have tshuva ma'ava? Tshuva ma'ava is the highest level of tshuva. And the pasuk is telling me, kor v'lecha dobe mo'id. Mo'id says a grow in many places. Mo'id means far, far beyond one's expectations. You cannot imagine how much. You know, the pasuk says in Bereishis, Behine toiv ma'oid. Ma'oid means unbelievably good. When it says kikov lecha dovo ma'oid, unbelievably close. How is it? How does one actually become unbelievably close to Rabbeinu Shlomo Truba Ma'ava? How does one do that? Number one. Number two, how does one do tshuva? If Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin, if Rosh Hashanah is all about coming close to the Rabbeinu Shleilam and being judged with all our various and zechiyas and trying to make an impact if you're going to live or die next year, how does one possibly go through Rosh Hashanah with not mentioning hardly anything about tshuva, hardly mentioning anything about requests for the next year besides Avinu Malkeinu? All it is Rabbeinu Shleilam Aleichal Kol Einu Kol B'Chvedecha. And where is it, Machlus Rechonu Shofros, where is it the request, where's the tshuva, what's going on over here? It seems to be the furthest away. Why don't we have spend 2 hours going through slowly Shmona Esrei? Refa'einu Hashem v'nei rofei, tka b'shefa godoil, borech aleinu shana azois. Why don't we go through Shmona Esrei so that should be a Rosh Hashanah David? And you know, I'll put it nicely, Alev Yavoi. We have nothing, we have no request, we have no slach lonu. We don't mention anything about the Avinu Malkeinu. All you have is one time in Avinu Malkeinu talk about Chatana Lefanecha. That's it. Where is that got to do with Rosh Hashanah? The territory is like this. Reb Fran brings down a story. I've heard it before. There was a 49-year-old adopted woman in California. And she noticed that she looked different from adoptive parents. But she didn't allow herself to think too much about it. At the age of 49, her adopted parents were aging, and they didn't know how long they're going to still be around for, and they told her the truth. They decided to tell her once and for all, this happened quite recently, they decided to tell her that she in fact was adopted, and in fact her parents were from Israel, and they adopted her. This was a whole scandal that the Israeli government would tell the immigrant parents that the babies had died, and they'd take them and they'd sell them for adoption abroad. This is a very, very well-known scandal, especially from babies. They didn't want them to have anything to do with their parents. They'd take them, they'll write a death certificate, I'm terribly sorry, the child died, we had to quickly bury it because there's sanitation issues in the hospital, and they'd take the babies and sell them. Never heard this before? This happened with Taimanim, huge amount of Taimani children, Yemenite children, with Moroccan children. It's a very, very well-known scandal, and it was in the papers a few years ago where people made big law cases against. But this is a true story, okay? This happened many, many, not some 10 times, hundreds of times. Some people even thousands. And this child was taken from the parents in Eretz Yisrael, and they were sent to America in California. And that was it. She was brought up by these parents, her adoptive parents. This woman was very upset, obviously, and she felt she got to make a move to find her parents. Right? She got to find her parents. So she came to Eretz Yisrael, and she went through the archives, and she made investigations, and finally she found who her parents could possibly be, and she made DNA matching, sent a private detective with DNA matching, and it fitted perfectly. Her DNA matching fitted a particular woman who lived in the middle of some little Mabara somewhere, in Be'er Sheva somewhere, and she met and she found that this was her mother. A woman she'd never seen five decades, half a century. She has never seen this woman before. She opens the door. Right? She opens the door. A woman she's never seen. The mother thought her child was dead. The child thought their mother died. Didn't know this mother, and she saw a strange woman who she never had any shaykhs with. What do you think they did? Shook hands, sat down, had a nice cup of tea, and discussed the news. They fell on each other's shoulders. They were sobbing, they were crying, they were kissing. There was an embrace. The whole bodies were shaking with emotion. One second, but this woman you never seen before. You're quite happy all those years back in America, yeah, living up the good life with your husband and kids. You come back to Israel now, you've never seen this woman before, and now she's suddenly the mother, and you take her out, you know, and she starts yelling, you see, and you still love her. How does that happen? Ki kariv elecha hadavar ma'od. When a person knows and understands that Rabbeinu Shleilam is his father, then a person is able to connect with the Rebbeinu Shlomo on a level that is so unbelievably intense that he has tshuva ma'ava. Knowing who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, knowing that he's a king, and Meleicha Kola Oilam Kula Bechvedecha, knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and created all the huge, huge galaxies, and still he's Avinu, is our father, understanding clearly who Rebbeinu Shlomo is, we fall on Rebbeinu Shlomo with such an embrace, with such love, that the emotion is able to bring us to levels of tshuva ma'ava. Kikari Velecha Hadova Ma'oid. We don't need to do tshuva and start banging out things. It's possible the embrace of Melech and Avinu Malkeinu is enough to break down all barriers that do tshuva ma'ava. Kikari Velecha Hadova Ma'oid. But the pasuk carries on. Beficha uvilvavcha la'asoysoy. Beficha means in your mouth. Ubilvavcha, and in your heart, la'asoysoy, to do it. If I would have written the pasuk, I would have written bilvavcha ubilficha la'asoysoy. In your heart. And then you express what's in your heart. Not beficha, what's in your mouth, and then what's in your heart. It should be levavcha, and your mouth expresses the deep emotions you have in your heart. So I saw very nice, Ramotel Kamenetsky brings, saw Rav Ari Levine. Now Rav Ari Levine, everyone knows the Tzaddik of Yerushalayim, before the mandate, before the Israeli government came, there was a British mandate, they had quote-unquote the Jewish terrorists were locked up in the Russian compound there. You can still go and visit the museum. It's actually very, very interesting. There's a museum there. They have Ari Levine's shul over there where he davened. And Ari Levine would walk all the way from his house, all the way in the snow, in the rain, in the heat, all the way to the shul. And he was the Rebbe of the prisoners. It's tremendous. I mean, he was a Rebbe of everybody, but he's a Rebbe of the prisoners. And he'd go every single Friday, Shabbos morning, he'd go over there and he'll go to the shul. And the people there were not necessarily the finest Talmidei Chachamim. They weren't the Avrichim. These were toughened criminals. Some of them had murdered, some of them had stolen, some of them had blown up people. These people were serious, toughened people who didn't hold anything at all during the week. But when Arya came, they'd take the little white couples in the corner there from the box, put it on the head, and join up Arya for his minion. There was one man there called Yankel. And Yankel was such antagonist to Ari Levine. Not only did he not join the minion, he did everything he possibly could to upset the Rebbe and do anything he could to make him to lose his patience. That his whole tachlis in life, his whole purpose in life was to make Ari Levine yell at him. He'd deliberately go and light up a cigarette right next to Ari Levine's face and smoke it right next to him and blow the smoke in his face. Remember, Ari Levine was calm and he was gentle and he never got upset. One day this man cracked and he yells over Ari Levine. He says to him, "Do you really believe these people? You should see what they're like before. And they're beating each other up. They're swearing. Their language is terrible. They're not eating kosher. You come in, the sun, they all become tzaddikim. Oh, they'll come with their couples on and all start davening and shakling. They're a bunch of false people like me. They're no different to me. And you daven with them." So Ari Levine said to him, "I'm sorry. Until now, I've been patient with you, but you have no right to slander these people. You have no right. You have no right to slander these people. These people, I know, and I'm absolutely 100% positive, that when they come through this door, perhaps they're not holding, but once they start davening, and once they allow the Kedusha of Tefillah to get into them, then they change, and they become different people. What happens after that? The Yetzer Hara starts up again, and they fall down again. But when they're in shul, and then when they're davening, these are different people. Beficha ubilvavcha la'asoysoy. If a person davens properly in his mouth, then it can make an effect on his heart. I'm not into all this malchus. I'm not into the zichrins. I'm coming from the streets, coming to shul, yeah. But allow the tefillahs to affect you. Allow the tunes to inspire you. Beficha, and then it'll get to levavcha. And this man heard what he said and became one of Ari Levine's closest Talmidim. This is Beficha Levavcha La'asoysoy. And this is a koyach of this week's parasha. Number one, to understand that standing by ourselves, we don't have any chance. But Atin Netzavim Hayoim Kulchem, if it's Hayoim and Rosh Hashanah, where it's Kulchem, everyone together, then we Netzavim, we are assured, we have ability to stand up and say, we are going to be all in this together. And therefore we are sure to have a Shana Tova. the amount that a person connects himself with the tzibur and the tzibur need him, that is the amount that he has stronger security. However, rosheichem shivteichem, every person can't just say, I'll hide behind someone else. No, each person has the ability and the potential to become a rosh. And if he doesn't have that, he'll be taken to task for that. It's close, true, very, very close for us. If we just understand that it's avinu, if we connect with our father, like this woman, adoptive woman who connected with her mother after all those years. And the fichol b'vavchal asoisoi teaches us that even if we're not ready in our heart, if we start davening and doing the motions in tefillah, and being there on time and davening with kavana, that will change of who we are. I just want to finish off with one short vort from Ramesha. Ramesha asks, why does it say, Lebechesed v'lebemaisim ba'ana lefanecho? Became not with chesed, not with maisim. What does chesed mean? Say in slichas every day, Lebechesed v'lebemaisim ba'ana lefanecho. Not with chesed, not with maisim. Chesed is in Fnim Ashur Asadim. Chesed means those things that are beyond my call of duty, right? And I've not come to you with a lot of chasadim. V'lebemaisim, and I've not come with you with actions that I'm mukhiyuv to do. So he's saying to Rebbe Yishon, I didn't come to you b'fnim ashur sadin, and I didn't come to you b'din. Why say leib chesed? Just say leib ma'isim b'am l'fanecho. If you didn't come with ma'isim, kol shkei never came with chesed. Yeah? So Rebbe Yishon says something else, and he says, the beginning of the parasha says, Re'ein esati lefnecha hayoyim es ha-chaim ve'es ha-toiv es mo'v es ha-sara. HaKadosh Baruch is ha-chaim ve'toiv mo'v es ha-sara. And HaKadosh Baruch tells us what to choose. And then he carries on and he says at the end of the parasha, he says, U'bachartu b'chaim leman tichye ata v'zarecho. You should choose chaim in order that you and your children should live. Asks Ramesha, he already says you should choose chaim. He already tells us that if we choose chaim we have life, and if we don't we have death. So what's Peshat? And if you choose Chaim, man tichya ata bezarecho. We already talked about beforehand what we gain by having Chaim. Listen to this, Rabbi Yisrael. And this is something, halavai. People saw this, Rabbi Moshe. I believe the world would be a different place for our children today. Says Rabbi Moshe, you can get a person who keeps every single diktuk of halacha ad the diktuk achrein shulchan aruch. The luluf, the esrug, the matzahs, the shabbos, the tilesidayim, every diktuk in halacha he keeps mamish the way it's supposed to be kept. But he says, this person's children are not going to be from, and they'll probably even marry out. Why? He said, when this person gets up for slichus, oh, I've got to get up for slichus, yeah? He gets up, before Shon Davni, oi, no, it's not easy being Rosh Hashanah davening. It's long davening. Bez Hashem, I'll get through it. Tzon Gedalia, it's pumped after Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, we need a fast after this. Say that fast, you know. But twice a week, another Yom Kippur coming up now. You know, the thing I have koiches to eat in every Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah comes to, so I'll eat. Everything is for him is a challenge. Everything is difficult. He does it. What can I do? Kopalem shade, you know, he hasn't got a choice, he'll do it. And he does it. And he does every single thing, diktuk in halacha. But he mumbles and he grumbles and he complains. It's schwer to sein a yid, you know, all this famous. Says Ramesha, this child is going to say, you know what, my father had it in him to deal with the struggles. I can't deal with struggles. You know what? Forget about it. I'm going off and I'll do whatever I want to do. Says Ramesha, Uvacharta b'chayin mantichya ata b'zarecho. Is not what choice you should make. It's not why you should make that choice. I already talked about that beforehand. Why you should make the choice? Because you want to live. Ramesha is saying how that choice should actually come into being. Uvacharta b'chaim, the choice you make should be such, mantichya ata v'zarecho, that not only you should make the choice, but your children should make the choices as well. How is that? That uvacharta b'chaim, understand that every single mitzvah you do is choosing life. Only if you go to a mitzvah with enthusiasm, only if you go to the mitzvah with a geschmack, then you're going to guarantee that your children are going to follow in that derech. If a person looks at Yiddishkeit as 613 obligations, or 613 chiyuvim, not opportunities, then he's not going to have from children. Children are going to go off the derech, guaranteed. And if they don't, it's not because of a hitzchus, probably his wife's chus. But this person is teaching his children to become chinonim. Ubacharta b'chaim, choose life. Every mitzvah's opportunity. Sometimes it's hard. I'll tell you a moshul mamish this week. I went to visit somebody, for a particular stalker, and he's got a huge house. Philip Kneinahora, one of the biggest houses here in Beit Shemesh. And I go up to his front door, and I knock on the front door, and there's no answer. It's got these big, heavy doors, right? It's knocking away, my knuckles already sore. And nothing going on. There's no bell there, right? Nothing. So I thought, maybe he doesn't hear. What should I do? As I'm about to walk out, there's a Filipino helper, walks at his very narrow steps. He says, are you looking for somebody? I said, yeah, I'm looking for Mr. and Mrs. Ah, yeah, follow me to downstairs. It goes down this little narrow stairs, right, to a basement apartment. There's like one window in the front. There's no windows around anything. His mom is like terrible. They're living terribly, right? So what's going on? Everyone's close by. His mom is just stuff all over the place. There's beds all over. There's clothes. These people are extremely wealthy. They have a house must be worth a few million dollars. So what's the matter? What's going on over here? So he said, no, it's nothing. We're just renovating upstairs. And they're just finishing off the painting now. Within the next few days, Mr. Shem will be moving in, so we're staying downstairs. So he said, okay, then. Yes, for a few days. We're so rough a bit, but they're renovating upstairs. Rabbi, I got a tremendous musa from that. Sometimes it's rough down here. Yeah? But we don't mind as long as we're renovating upstairs. As long as we know that decorating upstairs is going to be beautiful upstairs one day, so we rough it a bit down here. But it's b'charta b'chaim, we choose to be down here. Nobody feels sorry for us when you have a $3 million house upstairs that we're renovating. Good. Nobody's going to feel sorry for them. That is b'charta b'chaim. Right, sometimes it's not that easy. But you're renovating the house upstairs, so you rough it a bit downstairs. Big deal. Says a Moshe, that's b'shat, lo b'chesev lo b'maisim. Don't look at ben Adam l'chaveroi as, oh, I've got to give this person. No. A person should make his middos to an extent that he wants to give. And if you don't want to give and you give it anyway, you're not fulfilling the absolute mitzvah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do mitzvahs with the ahava. And therefore, we come to Rabbeinu Shlomo labor chesed and labor meisim. Rabbeinu Shlomo, not only do we not change our middos to become balei chesed, which one thing you expect us to do, we didn't even do what we're supposed to. And that we're supposed to every mitzvah, not because we're forced to, but because we want to, b'charta b'chaim. And that is what we're supposed to daven Rosh Hashanah. Meloicha kol ha'olam kulei b'chvedecho. Let everyone realize, v'yeda kol pol ki ata payalto, yovin kol yitzur ki ata yitzarto. Everyone should know that Rabbeinu Shlom ultimately is running the world, and it's a schus to be his eved. And be'ezus Hashem, being part of the klal, and doing tshuva ma'ab, will all be zeicha to k'siva v'chasim etzeva.